How to have fun anytime, anywhere. Step one, go to ChumbaCasino.com.
ChumbaCasino.com. Got it.
Step two, collect your welcome bonus.
Come to Papa, welcome bonus.
Step three, play hundreds of casino-style games for free.
That's a lot of games, all for free.
Step four, unleash your excitement.
Woo-hoo! Chumba Casino has been delivering thrills for over a decade. So claim your free welcome bonus now and live the Chumba life. Visit ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Chasing Big Joe, 102.5 The Game here on this Thursday. He's Big Joe. I'm Chase McCabe. We got another Chase joining the show. Chase Briscoe, driver of the number 19 Bass Pro Shops Toyota for Joe Gibbs Racing. The Nashville Super Speedway Cracker Barrel 400 weekend, a month away. Hard to believe. And Chase will be there with the rest of the NASCAR Cup Series. What's up, man? How are you?
Doing good. Yeah, excited to be in Nashville. It's always a cool spot to come to. So, yeah, looking forward to obviously coming back here at the end of May. But, yeah, excited to be here today.
Do you you like running out at the Super Speedway? I feel like most of you drivers typically do.
Yeah,
good side-by-side racing.
Yeah, for sure. It's a cool racetrack. And then just the area, right? Like, it's just a great area to come to. There's tons of stuff to do. It's one of those tracks where, you know, your wife and kids want to come. So, yeah, we always enjoy coming here.
There's nothing to do in Nashville either.
Yeah, nothing to do.
Talladega, we were just talking before we went on the air. Talladega's in the books, and I have a feeling you're happy about that.
Yeah, I mean, I wish it would have went better. But, yeah, definitely glad that I guess it's done and over with. I don't think we run a Super Speedway for like 3 or 4 months now. So, yeah, the Super Speedways are stressful for us.
Yeah.
You know, you're just, there's always big crashes. I mean, we saw that at Talladega. I think it was like
that
a 25-car wreck.
That
one was wild. Yeah, it was not ideal.
Like, what were I forgot where you were when that whole thing happened, but, like, what's going through your head when you see it all unfolding?
Yeah, so I was, like, literally fourth from last. We were kind of just saving fuel. There was nowhere to go. And we were three or four wide for, like, three laps in a row. And you could kind of sense it coming. But, yeah, I was able to, you know, start slowing down. There's just smoke everywhere, right? And then, yeah, this with the banking, everything slides down, and I was on the bottom and just kind of got cleaned out there at the end. So, yeah, it's hard when you're in one of those positions. I think, you know, out of all the guys that were back there, only two guys got through there, and it was Josevar and Denny, and the rest of us were all wiped up in it.
Yeah, it was wild. When you're in those situations, I mean, obviously I get a different perspective watching from TV or on a monitor or something. You can kind of see how it happens. Is your initial thought before you go back and watch it, all right, who did something stupid?
Yeah, so I was totally surprised at last week's wreck. Just because we were three and four wide, like, I had no idea it started from the lead. A bad push. I thought it was kind of right in the mid-pack. And, yeah, so I was actually surprised when I went back and watched it that it started at the front. Because just how we were running three and four wide, like, I could, like I said, sense it coming. And then when I went back and watched it, I didn't know it was from a bad push or whatever. So, yeah, it kind of caught me off guard.
You finished second in Atlanta. I know you want to win the race. Finishing second, what? You so close. Is it frustrating? Are you pleased? Are you happy? Are you like, nah?
I mean, Atlanta was the second race of the year, so that one you're just like glad to have a good finish, truthfully,
right?
So early in the year. And then, yeah, the week before was the Daytona 500. We got taken out there. I think we finished like 35th. So, yeah, I was okay with second. I mean, as okay as you can be, but that was one of those ones I felt like I could have won, you know, if I just had another lap. So, yeah, it kind of just depends on the circumstances. You know, now looking back on it, I'm glad we at least finished second and didn't wreck at that one.
Right.
Because I think we had three DNFs in a row after that. So, yeah, it was just a rough start to our season. That was kind of the only bright spot there for a while. So, yeah, it just depends on your situation, where you're at in the season. But, yeah, second, I mean, it still stinks, especially when you're that close.
Yeah, right. So you got the pole for Daytona. What's that 24 hours like before the race starts and you get the pole? I got to think it's great. It's pressure. It's everything you want to be as a race car driver.
Yeah, so Daytona is kind of unique because, you know, for the Daytona 500, we actually qualify on Wednesday. So early
the
race.
That's right.
And so, yeah, you qualify on the pole and then you just do media like crazy. And it's nuts. You know, I've been able to, you know, win the pole for other races. And you might do a couple of interviews. But the Daytona 500, I mean, it is a full 5-6 hours of just interview after interview. And you don't realize how big of a deal it is, truthfully,
right,
to start on the pole of the Daytona 500. But, yeah, that Saturday night and when you wake up Sunday morning, it's a cool feeling knowing that you're starting on the front row of the Daytona 500 and just coming to the green. I make it a point, really, every week, no matter where we're racing at, wherever I start, to just kind of look up in the grandstands and kind of take it in for a second. And doing that at the Daytona 500 from the front row, it's a totally different feeling.
Do you always get the, like, Mike Joy's, like, Nobody's won, taken the pole and won Daytona the first year since 1958, whatever it is. I mean, there's all those things like, you're better off not getting the pole.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, definitely nobody's won from the pole in a long time here. And this year we actually qualified second. I was joking. Kyle Busch got the pole. I told him right before we went out to qualify, I said, I'll gladly let you get the pole. I'll take second because I don't have to do any of the media stuff that way.
Right.
But, yeah, it's a huge deal for the team, you know, truthfully, to be able to start on the front row. But, yeah, statistically it's crazy how, you know, the pole sitter just hasn't won that race in a really, really long time.
How cool you talk about taking that moment to look into the stands. Do you do like at Bristol and at Darlington everywhere?
Yeah, every week I normally try to do that just for the initial start of the race. Just and kind of realize it's like a pinch me moment every time I do it. Like, man, you're getting to race in the Cup Series. And, yeah, it's cool, like, especially at the Daytona 500 when it's sold-out crowd, you know, 200,000 people there. It's one of those races, like, as a kid, you grow up watching all the time. And then to know that you're actually leading the field of green in one of the most iconic races, it's pretty cool. It's
awesome. At Bristol, especially the night race, can you hear the crowd inside the car?
Yeah. Under caution, you can. Yeah. Under green, you can't. But under caution, definitely can. And you know, it's crazy at Daytona and Talladega. I'll hear it under green just because your spotter's always keyed up and talking.
Oh, yeah.
So if something happens, I can normally hear the crowd, like, start yelling and something. So, yeah, at some tracks you can hear them under caution. Bristol's one of them. Martinsville's another one. North Wilkesboro. The tracks where they're super, super close, you can definitely hear them under caution.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. So if you were to win here at Nashville, you get the guitar. A lot of you drivers love the guitar. You going to learn to play it?
I don't know. I used to be able to do just Smoke on the Water there.
Okay,
the course.
Well, there you go.
I don't even remember now. I was like a real little when I did it. But, yeah, that's probably about the extent of my guitar playing.
Okay.
My four-year-old would love it, though.
See, that's what a lot of the answers are. Like, well, my kid would probably learn how to play it.
Yeah, he would play it.
Yeah, that'd be cool.
Go back to your spotter for a second. Is the spotter communication ever gone out during a race?
It's happened to people before. It's happened to me, like, just where it's real fuzzy and staticky, you know. I mean, you guys live it, right, with radio.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's not always perfect. So, yeah, sometimes, you know, especially at road courses, I mean, we might be a mile away sometimes from where he's at. So he's talking. I don't even hear it. But I've never had it just completely go out.
No, that's right. So if the crew chief's got to give you a message, is he able to talk to you?
It depends on where I'm at on the racetrack. So typically the spotter I can always hear because he's up on top of the grandstand, so his signal's the best. But, I mean, literally last week at Talladega, for example, when I'm on the back straightaway, my crew chief can talk to me, but it's pretty staticky. I can't really hear it that great. So normally he'll relay the message through the spotter, and the spotter will tell it to me.
Oh, okay. Was fascinating about all this.
Yeah. Was Drew your spotter at SHR or just with Gibbs?
No, just at Joe Gibbs.
Okay. So was there an adjustment going from?
Yeah, it's really hard whenever you switch spotters, just because of the trust that you have to have in that person.
Yeah,
I mean, literally Daytona or Talladega, they're looking through binoculars at, I don't know, 3/4 of a mile away, and they're clearing you by an inch sometimes less. And if you hesitate, I mean, a 1/10 of a second, you're going to crash the field. So you really have to just have this cadence and this trust with each guy. And you know, I've worked with probably 4 or 5 different spotters now, and, you know, you can hear it in their voice sometimes. And the relationship you have with that person is huge, especially when you go super speedway racing, because they're not driving the car, but they're really painting the picture for what's happening and what moves to make. So, yeah, they're really kind of the head coach, the offensive coordinator, and the defensive coordinator at the super speedway races. And, yeah, having that trust with them is really, really important.
Chase Briscoe is with us, driver of the number 19 for Joe Gibbs Racing. You got to drive for Tony Stewart. Now you drive for the team that Tony Stewart drove for with Joe Gibbs. That's got to be a pretty cool part of your career.
It's definitely super cool. I mean, I grew up a diehard Tony Stewart fan. I mean, we grew up 45 minutes apart in Indiana. And so for me as a kid, Tony was like my idol. And when I started trying to do the NASCAR thing, I mean, I remember telling my parents, like, man, it would be a dream come true if I could somehow, like, drive the 14 car. That would be the one I would pick. And then I got to go drive for Tony Stewart in the 14 car. And then when that team shut down, to be able to just so happen go to Joe Gibbs Racing. I mean, as a kid, I would wear my Home Depot Joe Gibbs Racing Tony Stewart fire suit and play my video games. And so it's crazy how it's all kind of worked out to where, you know, now I'm getting to drive for Coach. And just to even be behind the scenes with Coach. And I mean, the guy's 85 years old, I want to say. And just to learn from the knowledge that he has, it's pretty unbelievable.
So he asked me one time, like, you know, who are the cool people you've gotten to meet in racing and stuff. And you know, it's like, okay, Dale Jr. and yeah. whatever. And I, but my answer is always Coach Gibbs.
Yeah.
It was the 2014 Daytona 500. And I'm just cruising through the garage area. It's my first time there. I'm barely in the media business. And I'm just, you know, like bright-eyed and everything. And here comes Coach. And in my head, I'm like, I mean, do I say hi? Do I say something? And I'm, and it was just like, Coach Gibbs, how you doing? Introduce myself. And he's like, well, son, how are you? And, like, was the nicest guy.
Yeah, awesome.
You want a picture? And,
yeah.
And it was just like, this guy's won 3 Super Bowls and multiple cups. And it's just, what you know, so I can only imagine what it's like for you to
it's
be
cool.
able to drive for him.
Yeah, just to get to be around him. And he's so good at, like, motivating people. You can see why he was such a successful football coach. And I asked him, we were going on a trip somewhere. I'm like, when you went back and coached the second time, like, what was different? And
yeah.
he's like, well, the game changed a lot, but the thing that didn't change is what motivates people. And, you know, it's the same for us in NASCAR, right? So, yeah, it's been really fun just getting to learn from Coach. My favorite Coach story is he always carries the Super Bowl ring. He's got one of the 3 always on him. And he'll, like, let people take pictures with it and stuff. We were flying somewhere, and he was digging through his briefcase. And he's just like, oh, my gosh, there it is. I found it. And he pulls down. He's like, this is my Super Bowl ring, another one. Like, he has one wearing it, and this one is his briefcase. And he said, I've been looking for this thing for, like, 7 months. I thought I lost it. And it was just, yeah, he has Super Bowl rings in his briefcase.
That's amazing.
Has he ever yelled at you?
He's not yelled at me. No. I've seen him get upset, though. It's crazy. It's very rare when it happens. But when he does, the football coach definitely comes out, and you're like, holy smokes. Because he's just this, like, super amazing, like, soft-spoken, nice guy. And I think that's where, like, the football guys, I couldn't imagine. Like, when he finally gets on you, you feel like you let the world down.
Yeah.
Because he never gets like that. But I've seen it happen a couple times, but never directly at me.
Well, it's good. He won 3 Super Bowls with 3 different starting quarterbacks. So, I mean,
yeah.
his ability to adapt works well in NASCAR, I would think.
Oh, 100%. I mean, our rules change every other year. The cars change. And, yeah, for him to be able to stay on top of his game as an owner for as long as he has, it's pretty unbelievable. Just the amount of things that he's been able to build. And he didn't grow up racing. Like, he'll tell you that. Like, he had no racing background. He went to the drag races and stuff. But other than that, it was just like this dream on a napkin that turned into what it is now with over 400 employees.
I think it's amazing. How did you get started?
So I grew up in a racing family. My dad, my grandpa actually started owning sprint cars, dirt cars in the 70s from Indiana, which is kind of a hotbed for sprint car racing. And, yeah, my dad raced for 20 years. And so I grew up going to the racetrack and then moved to Charlotte literally right after I graduated high school and slept on a couch for 3.5 years and we just volunteered all these race shops. And eventually this team owner that was a multimillionaire thought it was cool that this kid was sleeping on a couch and volunteering and decided to let me run a race, and it just spiraled from there, and we won the championship, and then I got signed and kind of went through the ladder system in NASCAR.
Wow.
Why, being from Indiana, I'm curious of this, why NASCAR and not IndyCar?
For me, I was a diehard Tony Stewart fan. He obviously did Indy as well, but when I was growing up, Tony was super heavy in the NASCAR stuff, and you had Tony Stewart, you had Jeff Gordon, Casey Kane, like those were all guys that grew up sprint car racing like I did that went to NASCAR. And for me, I just, you know, outside of the month of May, I never would really have IndyCar, you know, racing on TV, but NASCAR was on every single Sunday. If we were, you know, driving to the sprint car track, the NASCAR was on the radio. So for me, like, NASCAR was always a thing that, like, if you're the top tier, that's where you go. And, you know, I love Indianapolis and Indy 500, but for me, my goal was always to make it to NASCAR just because the guys that I grew up kind of idolizing in racing, that's where they all went.
Would you want to try the double one day?
If I didn't have a wife and kids, I think I probably would. You know, I literally love the month of May. I watch every single practice, everything. But truthfully, I just don't have the desire, you know, especially with a wife and kids. I don't want to risk getting hurt and stuff. And I always tell people I would love to start and park the Indy 500. I want to do the pre-race. I want to do the pace lap. I want to take the green flag and then just lap one, pull it in, and just be a fan. I've wrecked at 200, and I have no desire to wreck at 240.
Yeah.
And, yeah, those guys, they're pretty incredible at what they do.
Have you ever driven one?
I've never driven one, no.
I'd be so, like, I mean, I've been in a stock car, but I it's a rocket ship with wheels.
It was neat. You know, other guys have done the double, right? Like Kurt Busch and whatnot.
Larson just did it.
Yeah, with Larson just doing it, that was the first person, like, I've known that actually went and done it. And, you know, I was racing against him while I did it. And to listen to him talk about how similar really it is, it drives very similar to what we do now. And you would think they would be drastically different. But, yeah, it was fun to watch him kind of go through that process. And, you know, and when IndyCar guys come and hang out with us, it's crazy how much the two cross over.
Yeah. We'll have one more segment with you. That's cool? Yeah. We'll hang out with Chase Briscoe, talk a little more racing. Coming up next is Chase and Big Joe, 102.5 The Game. Chase and Big Joe, 102.5 The Game, here on this Thursday, continuing with NASCAR driver Chase Briscoe, the Cracker Barrel 400 weekend, a month away out at the Nashville Super Speedway, May 29th through the 31st. Got the Truck Series, got the O'Reilly Series, and Chase, of course, will be driving the number 19 in the Cup Series. Carson Hocevar gets his first win. Ty Gibbs, your teammate, gets his first win a few weeks ago. We're seeing some of these guys finally make it to victory circle. But I asked Christopher Bell this, and I'll ask you the same thing. You know, it took you a minute to find victory lane for the first time. Does that just show you how difficult these things are and how hard it is to win?
Yeah, the Cup Series is a whole nother animal.
Yeah.
I mean, it is just crazy. I mean, when you're going through the O'Reilly Series or the Truck Series, I mean, you're realistically racing, I don't know, 7-8 guys, right?
Yeah.
On a kind of consistent basis. Where when you get to the Cup Series, like, all 36 guys have won their entire career. And
yeah.
They're just really, really good. Like, you can run a perfect race and still struggle to run top five. Like, the Cup Series is just so tight. So, yeah, it's a hard thing to win. And all the guys that, whether it was Hocevar or Ty, I texted both of them after and was just like, man, there's nothing like winning your first Cup race. Just the sense of accomplishment you get, because it's hard, like, to win a Cup race. And just when you lay your head down at night after winning a Cup race, like, you know you've beat the best. And it's a really cool feeling.
How popular of a win for Joe Gibbs Racing was Ty, knowing how hard he's worked, all the family stuff,
yeah.
You know, losing his dad and everything, going through that. I mean, I have to have a feeling that was pretty cool.
Yeah, it was really cool to just be able to be a part of that, right? Like,
yeah.
If I would have been at Stewart Haas Racing, like, it would have been cool to see him get his first win, but I wouldn't have got to see the behind the scenes and, like, the celebration and, like, just even for Coach, like, to get to witness
yeah.
it, right? And, like, Pat came, Coach's wife. I think they've won over 300 races as a company. She's never been to a banner ceremony.
Oh,
like,
cool.
She came to Ty's. Like, just for – let's see how much it meant to the whole family. It was really, really cool. So, yeah, just to be able to be a part of that and to be inside the four walls when Ty got his first, it was a really special thing to be a part of.
You go to Texas this week. We asked Chris Bell this last week about simulators and knowing the speedway. How well do you know Texas Speedway? Do you need to get in a simulator to know it better? How do you scout this race?
Yeah, so we're running the simulator every single week, no matter where we're going. You know, some weeks it's normally anywhere from 4 to 6 hours, but like road course next week, I'll run probably 12 plus hours. So it really depends on the racetrack. But Texas is a tough one because we only go there once a year, so it changes a lot. You know, a lot of these tracks we go to twice, sometimes in the spring, sometimes in the fall. But when you're going to these places that you only go to once, and especially at a place like Texas where, you know, the summer and the winters are so extreme, like, the track just changes drastically.
Wow.
From a surface standpoint, you know, Texas has this huge bump in turns 3 and 4, and it gets bigger every time we go. So it's one of those, I mean, we can guess, right, and expect what we think it's going to be, but until you get there and actually get to run on it, you never really know.
So you just get the 2 laps to qualify, that's it?
We get 20 minutes of practice, and then, 2 laps of qualifying. And like Texas, I mean, I think our minimum speed in turns 3 and 4 is probably like 180, 185.
Ooh.
It's very high commitment. So, yeah, it's a tough one to go to.
So you know that by the time you get to the speedway, the flag drops, you guys take off. I mean, you know that speedway for the – you got to, right? Know most of it?
Yeah, I mean, you definitely know, like, all the ins and outs just because you've ran so many laps on the simulator. And plus, like, you have experience there. Like, little things change, right? But for the most part, the simulator does it. I mean, they're laser scanned down to the thousandth of an inch.
Wow.
So, I mean, everything is pretty spot on. You know, the craziest thing for me, we ran Mexico City last year for the first time. Nobody had ever been there. And I think my fastest lap of the entire weekend was lap 3. And, like, all I'd ran was the simulator up until that point. So that just shows you how dialed in the simulators are now. I mean, literally, when we ran the Chicago street race, for example, every skyscraper that's in the background is there. Every tree
yeah.
that
nice.
Is in the park is there. Because you don't – every driver kind of uses different visual references. So – They literally go down to everything. Every crack that's on the racetrack, is there in the simulator.
Wow. Yeah. Is that – does iRacing do that, or is that something –
No, it's
different?
A completely separate company. It's actually called R-Factor.
Okay. But I feel like iRacing is pretty accurate.
Yeah, iRacing does a really good job. The best way I can explain it is, you know, iRacing, you know, from a track – you know, visual standpoint, it's really, really good. It's almost like 4K, right?
Yeah.
But the track surface itself is probably like 1080p. It's really accurate, but it's not down to the, you know, legitimate scale. Where ours, you know, visually, like, it doesn't look like you're playing on 4K. It looks 1080p-ish, but the surface itself is definitely 4K. Like, it is as close can get. So it's kind of the opposite. iRacing visually looks a little bit better, but our surface is probably better.
Now, when you get in the sim, are you in the full race suit and everything? Or?
No, it kind of depends. So we have sims at Joe Gibbs Racing, which is literally like a just screens. It doesn't move. Yeah. You're just sitting there in a chair. And then we have one at Toyota, which is literally a full-blown car. The screen, you know, is 12 foot tall, wraps all the way around you. The thing moves. You're in a full-blown seat, belted in, helmet. It's a little more intense. You know, I won't use that one other than road courses. It just kind of depends on the week.
Very cool. Let me ask you this, Chase. What's the craziest spot you've been recognized?
Craziest spot I've been recognized? Oh, gosh. I have no idea.
Bar lines at the Omni Nashville Hotel.
Yeah. I was shopping with my wife in Nashville last year. We were at, I don't know, some little boutique. I'm not a big boutique guy, obviously.
No.
And some guy was like, hey, are you? And I was like, yeah. And I never would have thought in a boutique I would get recognized. So that's up there for sure.
Is it now for you kind of like hey, it's cool, like, you know, take a picture or whatever?
Yeah,
I
think it's super cool. It's crazy to me that I get to do what I do, truthfully. Yeah. And it's been wild just over the last 18 months, really, like going from, you know, not the top tier ride to all of a sudden being like a competitor week in and week out, like at the racetrack especially, just the difference in people recognizing me, I guess, and like wanting autographs and stuff. You know, as you run better, more and more people want your stuff, and that's been cool, like, for me to go to the racetrack and see more and more 19 stuff, you know, where in the past, like, there was some 14 stuff there, but it wasn't really, like, everywhere, where now with the 19 stuff, Bass Pro certainly helps that. People want to wear Bass Pro shops, but it's been cool to get to experience that.
Is there somebody that's walked to the garage that's looking at your garage that's famous, you're like, holy cow, look at this? Not a starstruck moment, but like, oh, man.
So this is funny. Michael Jordan's at the track all the time, right?
Yeah.
I've never got to talk to Michael. I've always, like, not been
Come
nervous.
Come on, Denny. Denny's got to help you out
I know.
There.
It's just never worked out. But I always tell my wife and stuff, I'm like, I want to know, like, does Michael Jordan know who I am? Like, if he heard my name, would he be like, oh, yeah, this is so-and-so? And so me and Noah Gregson were doing something the other week, and he's like, talking about Michael and how he just goes up and daps him up every week. And he showed me this video of, like, Michael introduced Noah to his wife, and he's like, yeah, Noah drives the four car. He's like, I'm telling you, he'll know everything about you. He watches every lap. So last week, or I guess 2 weeks ago, he won the race, and he was walking by our car, and I was like, this is my shot. And I just walked up and was like, hey, man, congrats or whatever. And we talked for, like, I don't know, a minute maybe, and I was like, holy smokes, like, that was Michael Jordan. That's pretty sick.
Did he know who you were?
Yeah, he was like, thanks, man. I mean, I'm assuming he knew who I was.
Right.
So, yeah, it was cool, though.
Oh, that's
and then
great.
This is another quick little story. So at that Atlanta race where I finished second, I pushed Michael's car, the 45 Tyler Reddick, to the win. And so in our debrief Monday, they were like, hey, thanks for, you know, pushing us to the win. I'm like, hey, no problem. Size 13 shoe. Just like joking. And so the next week, They brought me like 7 pairs of Jordans.
Oh, that's awesome.
And then like 3 weeks later, the guy that runs kind of 2311 texted me randomly. He's like, hey, what size shoe do you wear? And I was like, size 13. And so at the debrief, like, this is 4 or 5 weeks after the event, he hands me a box of shoes, and I get out to my truck. I'm like, I bet MJ signed these. He did not sign them. It was just another pair that they had forgotten.
Oh, that's
well,
but
Denny, I mean, like, are you and Denny tight enough that, like, he could probably, like...
I asked Denny, and he was like, I can assure you that Michael definitely knows who you are.
Well, that's awesome. What's it like having Denny as kind of the veteran guy on the team?
It's been very eye-opening to me just to get to... I mean, Denny kind of has, I think, this perception from the outside of kind of how he is, and being on the inside... That guy works so hard. It's unbelievable. It reminds me so much of being teammates with Kevin Harvick. Like, somebody that's, you know, 45, kind of tail end of their career, you would think they'd kind of be checked out to a certain extent, and they're working harder than anybody in the sport. So It's been very eye-opening from that standpoint.
I have especially – so a few years ago in Atlanta, this was probably like 2021, I go down there to cover the race, and they do – like they brought all you guys in to do like some one-on-ones and stuff. Like it was coming on the backside of COVID, and so the access was back. And he was talking about leaving the sport better than he left it and like trying to do what's right by the drivers and stuff. And I just sat there and listened to him. And I said, I was like, why do you feel like you need to be the one to do that? And he goes, because nobody else is. And I want this to be good for the guys that are here after me. And I ended up doing an interview with him at the awards a little bit later, and I brought that up. And I said, like, I gained so much more respect for you, like, hearing you talk about that. Because, like, Denny the driver is a jerk. Like, he's just, like, he's going to, you know, he's one of those guys, like, I'd wreck my mother to win. But how much he cares about the sport, I think, is really telling. And he truly does want to leave it better than the way he found it.
Yeah, I agree 100%. From a competitor standpoint, you don't want to race against Diddy.
Right.
But outside of that, yeah, he does a ton. I mean, and I think he's in a very unique spot now, right, with owning 2311, where from, like, even helping the driver standpoint – and you saw that with the lawsuit and, like, the team owners. I mean, what he did for just coach, like, doing that lawsuit, it was a huge thing for all the owners and really the sport in general. It literally changed the sport.
Yeah.
Before you go, are you wearing Jordans?
Yeah. Well, not today. I normally always wear Jordans. I got Nikes on today.
Yeah. Okay,
but normally I'm – because Michael apparently checks that out. I was a Jordan – as a kid, I had Jordans, right?
Yeah.
And then the last couple of years, my wife would get mad. I'd wear the same pair of shoes for 3 years. Like, right. I don't care.
I'm the same way.
And then when I went to JGR, I went and bought like 10, 15 pairs of shoes. Now I got like all kinds of different colored Jordans. So, yeah, I kind of got suckered into being like all the other guys.
Well, see, I wear size 13, too. Yeah. It's not easy to find
shoes. No, it's hard to
find
size 13
so
shoes.
So it's like you find one you like, you just wear it until it falls apart.
See,
you
know, look, that was his name is Chase, too, right?
Right.
So he's hoping that you'll get that.
Yeah.
You'll come back like, oh, Chase, who's that?
Yeah, I got
extra 13 for it. Yeah. Don't fall for it, Chase.
Hey,
don't.
Appreciate the time. Good luck at Texas. We'll see you in about a month here in Nashville.
Appreciate it. Yeah,
Chase Briscoe, driver of the 19 car, joining us here on the show. We will have Greg Wyshynski talk some hockey with him coming up next. Chase and Big Joe, 102.5 The Game.
It is Ryan Seacrest here. There was a recent social media trend which consisted of flying on a plane with no music, no movies, no entertainment. But a better trend would be going to ChumbaCasino.com. It's like having a mini social casino in your pocket. Chumba Casino has over 100 online casino-style games, all absolutely free. It's the most fun you can have online and on a plane. So grab your free welcome bonus now at ChumbaCasino.com. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.